What's good? Zimbabwe muhle lengali chona njani mtsakazo muhle Zimbabwe muhle kwazi why mune Zimbabwe tinomukamuchira muchirongwa chedu chevechidiki uhlelo live talk at the connection lilami o Mike Hove muri Zimbabwe deep kohama dzangu for everybody tuning in. Welcome to live talk at the connection, a Studio 7's very own youth program that targets tackling anything and everything youth related. Muri Zimbabwe, we're coming to you from my apartment in Washington, D.C. on the 16th of November, 2021. I'm your host, Mike Hove. Once again, kwazwai, kunemunhu wese arikupinda muchirongwa chedu chevechidiki. Welcome to everybody tuning in right now to Live Talk at the Connection, Studio 7's very own youth program that targets tackling anything and everything youth related. We're coming to you from my apartment in Washington, D.C. on November the 16th, 2021. Muri Zimbabwe namhlanje uhlelo lethu labasakhulayo nasi mthongo wethu lechibiki. Tonight on The Connection, we focus on youth empowerment in Zimbabwe under the leadership of President Emmerson Mnangagwa. Now, for those that do not know, President Emmerson Mnangagwa first took over the reins of our president in November 2017, following the ousting of the late President Robert Mugabe. Now, upon taking over the reins of presidency in 2017, President Emmerson Mnangagwa promised Zimbabwean youth that he will work very hard to ensure that their lives change. He vowed to uplift the life of Zimbabwean youth. He promised to fix the economy. And of course, as per the demand of a Zimbabwean youth, he promised to create jobs. As we continue speaking to Zimbabwean youth about issues that affect them, tonight we focus on youth empowerment. Unfortunately, Muri Zimbabwe, tonight's program is a pre-recorded program. So what this means for you all is that you will be unable to join in live as per usual. You won't be able to call in live as per usual. However, as we speak, we're still streaming on our three Facebook pages, that being VOA Ndebele, VOA Studio 7, and of course, VOA Shona, Skonanjalo, on our three web pages, that being www.voazimbabwe.com, www.voashona.com, and of course, www.voandebele.com. For all YouTube fanatics, we're broadcasting live on our official YouTube page, that being VOA Zimbabwe. So you can also catch us there. Zuluganda balinga kofi, ukufitizela lapho ukubhala ukuthi share, msakhangana ukuthinya, phaya bakanze share, kuyifra uthone chirongwa ichi no wandu wedu. You can put your comments in the comments section and we will be seeing your feedback. Most importantly, linga kofi ukufitizela lapho ukubhala ukuthi like, do not forget to press the like button. Kuyitra uthone ukuthi I was a chokwadi muri Zimbabwe, ukuthi sibone ukuthi ngempela namhlanje sisonke like so, tiri chose, pano pa chirongwa chini chwe chiki muri Zimbabwe, tinyaye pai pakanze like, kuyitra uthone ukuthi I was a chokwadi wanwaripo nasi pa chirongwa chini chwe chiki. Now, let's delve into tonight's discussion, Muri Zimbabwe. As usual, first up, an update on COVID-19. We'd like to give you information coming straight from the Ministry of Health and Childcare. Let us head over to an infomercial that was recently produced by the Ministry of Health and Childcare, which focuses on coronavirus in Zimbabwe. Now, for those that are looking to watch the full clip, kindly head over to the Ministry of Health and the Childcare's official web pages, that being their Twitter page, their Facebook page, and of course, their YouTube page.
Tinokutenda Zimbabwe nekuita rupande rwenyu mukudzivirira kupararira kwechirwere checoronavirus. Tinokutenda nekumira chinambwe kubva kune vamwe, kufeka kwenyu mask painodiwa, kugeza kwenyu maoko nekugara makashambidzika nguva dzose. Tinokutenda nekugara pamba pamunenge musiri kunzwa zvakanaka, kuzvipira kwenyu uye nekuverengwa pavanhu vari kubatsira panguva ino yakaoma. Chanduko yemararamiro edu haisi nyore, asi iri kushanda. Nekudaro, ngatirambei tichiendera mberi. Ngatirambei tichiita sarudzo dzinotichengetedza kubva kune chirwere cheCovid. Tinoda kutenda mutungamiri weZimbabwe, mutevedzeri wavo, vashandi vari mubazi reutano, vanochengetedza mitemo nevose vari kutsigira. Kuti muzive zvakawanda pamusoro peCovid, endai padandemutande rebazi rezveutano nekuchengetedzwa kwevana rinoti www.mohcc.gov.zw kana kudownload app yakapasiswa nebazi rinonzi Zim COVID Safe, inowanikwa paGoogle Play Store kana paApple App Store. Mashoko aya maunzirwa nebazi reutano nekuchengetedzwa kwevana. Vachiwana rutsigiro kubva kuRevive, Baker's Inn neChicken Inn.
Well, Muriel Zimbabwe, you're hearing there from the Ministry of Health and Child Care. This is Nyambela Isikona, a mobile application, which you can use, is in COVID safe, which you can use to get the latest information on COVID-19. And of course, ukubona ukuthi ngicabanga maybe usubanjwe ngaleli gciwane le coronavirus, what can you do? The application is a corner, which can help you receive more of that information. So ahambani lingakhohlisi lokanda bakhona ku Twitter, Facebook, kanye la ku website yabo www.ministryofhealthandchildcare.co.zw. But now to delve into tonight's discussion, Muriel Zimbabwe, ungena phela kuhlelo lwethu labasakhulayo to focus on tonight's discussion. Tonight, as I mentioned earlier on, we're going to be focusing on youth empowerment in Zimbabwe. Now, for those that do not know, just to get a little refresher, November 2017 was a very eventful month for Zimbabwe in terms of shaping the nation's history or the nation's future for Zimbabwe to be what it is today. Zimbabwe experienced arguably one of the most momentous events in Zimbabwe's history since independence in November 2017. That is when we saw what the new dispensation is terming a military takeover, which led to the ousting of the late President Robert Mugabe and, of course, the incoming of President Emmerson Mnangagwa, where he took over the reins of President of the Republic of Zimbabwe, making him officially the third president since independence. And that's in Chirongwa Chilichebe Chidiki, Namhlanje Kuhlelo. Tonight on The Connection, we're going to be revisiting some of these moments in 2017. And of course, we're going to be speaking to youth about whether or not President Emmerson Mnangagwa or the new dispensation has been able to deliver on some of these promises that they made for Zimbabwean youth. Now, to hear more, a Voice of America recently reached out to Zimbabwean youth to talk about this moment in 2017, and of course, whether or not President Emmerson Mnangagwa's government has been able to deliver on these promises. Amongst them is Thando Kwinji and of course Ashley Funye, all of the both of these are community leaders within Zimbabwe. So let us hear more from all the youth that spoke to Voice of America about the events in 2017 and, of course, whether or not they feel President Emmerson Mnangagwa has been able to deliver on their promises.
I have received in terms of section 96, subsection 1 of the Constitution of Zimbabwe, a letter from the President, State House, Harare, Zimbabwe, 21st November 2017. The Honorable General Mondenda, notice of resignation.
Basically, the interpretation of the demise of Robert Mugabe was interpreted in terms of bringing hope in the country of Zimbabwe. You know, after 36 or 37 years of having a dictator at the helm of power, it means, you know, he's a complete overhaul of the system of tyranny. So when Robert Mugabe was ousted, you know, there was hope. People celebrated, thinking that it's because of an individual. So that individual mentality that we had, that, you know, if we deal with this individual, everything is going to go. I think most of the people celebrated. This general feeling was we have succeeded. We have done something that is very historical. But, well, to our disappointment, all those things, and they have multiplied in the current regime. So I must say that for me, it was, you know, a good step in the right direction, not realizing that, you know, the future was, you know, the future is uncertain, and what is at stake after a coup is much larger than what happened, you know, before the coup.
Everyone here is very happy. They're very happy about that Mugabe must go today, not tomorrow, today. We want him to leave the office.
Yes, for me, as a young person in this country, my hopes particularly were directed into, I must just say, mention three key issues for me, which is number one, the political setup. I really looked forward to a change in the system of governance, where we're having people being able to express themselves freely, where we're going to have freedom of speech, where we're going to have freedom of gathering, where we're going to have freedom to affiliate yourself to a political party of choice. So that's what we expected. Economically, we, as you know, that we're a generation that has never been given a fair chance. We're a generation that has never seen a payslip. We're a generation that has never been formally employed. It's a kia-kia economy in Shona, where we just wake up and try to make things and hustle up. So we have never really encountered systematic employment. So we hoped that, you know, a new era is going to come onto us, and these young people are going to get jobs, decent jobs, are going to get housing, are going to get, you know, pure salary, a tangible and consistent income that will also help you to plan for your future. So that's, you know, it's an economical aspect. You're going to see, you know, the economy being resuscitated, the currency itself gaining its value, the minerals being equally distributed, development in the communities. That's what we also anticipated, having electricity, because electricity, you know, in Zimbabwe was now it was now a scandal. There was no electricity. So we hoped to get basic social services, electricity, water, all those services coming back to life. You know, Zimbabwe being the real breadbasket of Africa as it was, having the industry being revived. And socially, we expected that we are going to, you know, have education, you know, being restored, quality and affordable education. We are going to have a proper healthcare system, because there is none at the moment. People are just going, you see women giving birth on the streets, all these things, they are happening in the face of government. So we're hoping that, you know, post Mugabe era, we're going to see a best, you know, services being delivered. And also, socially, we are also expecting that as people are going to come together and be united in coming up with a common goal. I think my point of departure will be that the center is not holding. The center is failing to hold, because there are no tangible decisions that are being made at the central government level. And I must say that confidently that people are very much eager for change. People really want something new. They are looking forward. As we celebrate, as most people celebrated the 2017 coup, people are waiting to celebrate a new dawn, a new rise, and a new change that is going to come. You know, a change which will deliver in terms of ushering in a new democratic state that is centered on the pillars of social justice.
I was hoping that with Mugabe's reign coming to an end, it could signal the birth of the earth of a democracy, and the birth of a democracy starting with the rule of law. At the same time, I was hoping that since this stern man who has been holding Zimbabwe behind since independence has gone, maybe something new, something different might come forth if we follow the law and practice that which we are saying since 2017 was post the introduction of the SDGs. It was post the African Charter on Democracy, Elections and Governance. I thought that maybe as Zimbabwe, we were going to a place where we are seeing the rule of law and where we are seeing democracy taking course. Those were my hopes at that time, yeah. All of my life was the Mugabe era, and currently I'm the post Mugabe. I'm in the post Mugabe era, and so the mood in the country currently is people are tired. People are tired. People are kind of embarrassed by the situation that we are in as a country, because we know what we should have and what we should not have. We know that we have a right to identity, but as it is now, it's even difficult for you to get an identity card. So it's kind of really embarrassing in a way. And as embarrassed as we are really tired, speaking for myself and the young people that I'm interacting with daily. They would tell you that really we are trying the best that we can. We are always adjusting to whatever is coming our way. Well, this new dispensation came with the bond not being 1:1 rate with the United States dollar. And we said, okay, we have seen this, but we knew that it wasn't really going to last long. And right now the economy is crippling. We cannot find cash anywhere. There's a cash crisis. There are a whole lot of crises around our economy. So that on its own, young people keep on trying to adjust. They keep on trying to wake up every morning and go to look for something for families to eat. They're living from hand to mouth. That's the economic situation that is there. So whatever person gets today, it has to take them through the next few days. And after the next few days, they would need to wake up again, go look for something, do something, and they would do absolutely anything. And we are at a point where we are realizing our laws and what our laws are saying, our constitution. We are fighting against corruption. We are fighting against this. But a lot of these things that we are fighting against are actually being perpetrated by the people that we entrusted our governance with, by the politicians. So this is the mood where we are. And people are starting to compare this situation where we are at with the Mugabe era. And they are saying that, no, maybe in the Mugabe era, Mugabe would notice that, no, the people are actually feeling this at this point in time. And when he notices, he can either do one of his very motivational speeches or one of his very provocative speeches at UN, at funerals, at wherever. And people might wake up the next morning with some form of hope that things might change, though nothing would change really. But they had that trust in Mugabe as the person who actually led the liberation struggle, and he was one of the founding fathers of the Pan-African ideology. So they kind of really identified with Mugabe in a way. But coming to the current regime that we have, the new dispensation, as they would love to call it, people are actually seeing a lot of lies circulating on Twitter, social media, etc. They are getting tired of them day after day, and they are noticing a lot of promises that were put very flowery on billboards, and the exact opposite has been done.
No one is more important than the other. We are all Zimbabweans. We want to grow our economy. We want peace in our country. We want jobs. Jobs. Jobs in our country.
Well, Moria Zimbabwe, you're hearing there from the youth speaking for themselves. Their thoughts about how well President Emmerson Mnangagwa has done with regards to youth empowerment in Zimbabwe. As mentioned earlier on, uMongameli Emmerson Mnangagwa wathatha phela umbuso wokuba nguMongameli welizwe ngoNovember 2017, lapho kwakhishwa khona owaye nguMongameli uMnumzana Robert Mugabe. So whilst on the discussion of our youth empowerment, now the Minister of Youth, Sports, Arts and Recreation, Honorable Kirsty Coventry, also commented about how well President Emmerson Mnangagwa's government has done with regards to youth empowerment in Zimbabwe. Now, throughout the course of the year, the minister herself, Honorable Kirsty Coventry, has particularly focused on several initiatives that are government-led that have uplifted Zimbabwean youth, amongst them being the Empowerment Bank. Let us hear more about what Honorable Kirsty Coventry had to say in a Zoom meeting that they had earlier on this year, whereby she was addressing Zimbabwean youth.
Create better markets. How can youth have greater access to land? How can youth find more opportunities for finance? How can youth come up with the technologies and the practical skills to ensure that they jump over by leaps and bounds into a career path on and for agriculture? All of these things that right now are challenging can be turned around to be made into a positive. So what is Zimbabwe and what is the government doing? Well, right now we know that the government has low-hanging fruit, and that we are wanting to poise and catapult the economy through exciting initiatives and innovations that are spearheaded through and by my ministry and the ministry responsible for lands and agriculture, as well as different financial institutions. So what have we done? Well, we've been listening to what the lacking areas are, so lack of access to land, lack of finance, and we've looked at those to say, how do we turn those into opportunities? And we have started by having new initiatives through the Empower Bank. We've started those initiatives through the youth focal desks. We've started by the review of the national policy, which has led to the promulgation of the National Youth Act. All of these things have come from an opportunity that we've seen to be something that is lacking into an opportunity that will benefit youth. So there are existing opportunities to empower youth at different stages of the agricultural value chain. And by harnessing increasing new technologies and approaches, we will be able to create new jobs, more jobs, increased food production, and we would be able to produce a less reliance on food imports.
Well, Maria Zimbabwe, you're hearing there from the Honorable Minister of Youth, Sports, Arts and Recreation, Honorable Kirsty Coventry, speaking on youth empowerment. This was at a meeting hosted by the Ministry of Youth, Arts and Recreation earlier on this year. Limzile Phela, Minister of Youth, Honorable Kirsty Coventry, is working extremely hard can empower themselves in the country. Empowerment Bank, all these different platforms are there and available and ready for the youth of Zimbabwe to be used. Some have already benefited. But now to hear more, I reached out to other young people. We're joined by ZANU-PF youth member, Admire Maskati, and of course the director of Youth Forum Zimbabwe, Mr. Ashton Bumira. They both joined me via telephone. I had reached out to them to have a conversation with them about youth empowerment in Zimbabwe. Let's hear this conversation that I had with Admire Maskati and Ashton Bumira. Admire kickstarts this conversation.
Yeah, youth empowerment is there, but the problem is maybe the opportunities that are coming for the youth are far and wide. When it comes to the mainstream economy, getting opportunities, financial inclusion, financial independence, we find out that a lot of our youth are shut out because of the lack of collateral in terms of accessing this financial from the ministries or from various things.
So, Admire, you just touched on the challenges youth are facing in Zimbabwe with regards to accessing funds which they can use to empower themselves, uplift their businesses, and, of course, their projects. So if you're saying that youth are having challenges accessing funds, where exactly does this empowerment you talk about fit in? Where is the empowerment you talk about?
Yes, but let's look at the aspect of some youth actually are having the opportunity to acquire land. The opportunity to acquire mining claims, the opportunity to own businesses, they are there. But the issue is, even if they are there, those are very few compared to what we expect as the youth. And we expect the youth to actually control the means of production. And hence, we are striving towards that as the government. We are trying to create more opportunities, we are trying to create synergies where the youth could actually chip in and channel their energy towards the the complexity of the economy and directing the economy towards a better start. So hence, they are saying the opportunities are there, but they are far and wide. So we need to bridge that gap, which has been created by the lack of financial accessibility towards the youth. Hence, we established the youth bank, Empower Bank, where youth are supposed to actually have an opportunity to access loans.
Now, you just mentioned the Empowerment Bank, the Youth Empowerment Bank. Now, through conversations that I've had with Zimbabwean youth here on our platform, one thing that has been highlighted by a lot of youth that have come onto this platform and other youth that I've just had conversations with is that they do not have enough information on how to access these monies you talk about through platforms such as the Empowerment Bank. So now, How do we bridge the gap here to ensure that more youth have access to these funds that have been set aside for them by government?
I think the best way to address this is the government should actually try and by all means to create platforms where youth should access information, establish youth friendly corners in every government institution, whereby youth should go there and access information. You find out that many of our youth are now those who are in the 21st century. These things that are written in black and white, most of our youth are not keen on reading. But if we, the government should actually try and create more social media platforms where they could interact with youth more. And if they do that, you'll find out that a lot of our youth would actually get access to information. But as it is right now, because of maybe lack of funds and other stuff, you find out that our government is actually using the orthodox method of actually disseminating information. Hence, that the youth can access that information. But over and above, we also need to bridge the ignorance gap that is actually been cultivated amongst our youth. We, our youth, tend to actually believe that there is nothing that is theirs within these institutions.
I say, Abonga Admire. Muriel Zimbabwe, we're also joined by the director of our Youth Forum in Zimbabwe, Mr. Ashton Bumira. Bumira, welcome to the program. Youth empowerment in Zimbabwe, Babu Mira, Chipeo Mondring, Mungachi should be coming.
Ah, Zantuko, Nakota, and we could be Madame Sarisa, Master Sariko, Arura, the Yoguchi, which is Lagawanda, and Amabas, which is Lagawanda, and 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 Lagawanda, ini pachangu chaiyo munda ndotouda asi kuti ndikwanze kuwana munda iwoyo asi kupanisika so nokuda kweizvozvo tinotaura kuti zviri pachena kuti nikana kuve chidiki haisi kuwanikwa nikana vishoma asi pandoda kungonyanyotsinira ndopa mabasa vechidiki tiri kuda mabasa asi mabasa hatisi kukwanisa kumawana
right vabumira vamunangagwa mutungamiriri wenyika vamunangagwa pavakatora matanho ekuva mutungamiriri wenyika takawanza wachiti jobs. Wachiti hurumende yavo ichashanda nemazvo. Mukuona kuti vechidiki vachawana mabasa, vechidiki vachawana mikana munyika yekuzvisimudzira. Mashoko akataurwa navamunangagwa pavakatora matanho ekuva mutungamiriri wenyika ari kutsinirwa na Minister of Youth, Honorable Kathy Coventry, ari kutsinirwawo zvekare na Minister of Finance, Vamthuli Ncube. Vachiti hurumende yavamunangagwa iri kushanda nemazvo mukugadzirisa matambudziko ari kusangana nevechidiki munyika patinotarisa nyaya yezvekushayikwa kwemabasa pamwe nenyaya yezvirongwa zvirimo munyika zvakanangana nekuvatsimudzira. Tichitarisa zvirongwa izvi zviri kutaurwa nehurumende, tambonzwawo wechidiki weZANU PF vamasikati vachiti aiwa hurumende ine chirongwa cheEmpowerment Bank chiripo chakanangana nekusimudzira wechidiki. Tichitarisa zvirongwa zvese zvirimo munyika, nemaonerenyu, mungati hurumende yavamunangagwa iri kushanda nemazvo here mukusimudzira wechidiki?
Chatinokurudzira hurumende, inofanira kuwandudza mikana bhikozi mukada kuzvitarisa hurumende ndiyo the biggest employer. Saka pari zvino tikada kuona situation iripo nekuti sekutaura kwandaita vana vachipedza zvikoro havasi kuwana mikana even yekupinda kushanda kana muhurumende chaimo haisi kutombowanikwa. Tochitarisa avo vanobva kunze vachiuya vachiisa makambani avo muno, mamiriro akaita upfumi hwedu, tikada kutarisa izvezvi mari yatinoshandisa, vanhu vashoma vanoda kuuya vachivhura makambani avo muno, nekuti mukada kuzvitarisa tichishandisa iyo mari yemuno iyi vakawanda vanotoona kuti vanhu vakauyisa mari yavo hapana chavanokwanisa kubuditsa. Totarisa futi nyaya yehuori. Huori ndo hwakanyanya muno munyika. Hapana munhu anoda kuuya achiisa mari yake yaanoziva kuti inenge ichizoteererwa nevakuru vehurumende. Saka zviri kutaurwa navamutuli zvakawanda zvacho zviri kungowandira mukutaura, asi pagiraundi mukada kuzoita zvinenge zvichiitika hapana chinenge chichiitika chinobatsika. Saka kurudziro yedu kuhurumende inofanira kushanda nevechidiki ende inofanira kuita kuti avo vanenge vachida kuti vange vachikwanisa kuvhura mabhizinesi avo vakwanise kunge vachivhura mune zvakanaka, vanofanira kugadzirisa nyaya dzemari, kufambiswa kwemari. Iko zvino zviri pachena mari yemuno iyo yemabhondi iyi haisi kutenga, haina zvairi kunyatsoshanda. Vanhu vakawanda izvezvi, Mike, ndoda kuti ndikudze vanhu veZimbabwe vakawanda vanozviziva, mari yaakutoshanda muno imari yekunze kwenyika, iyo anova US ekuAmerica. Asi hurumende yedu inoramba ichizviramba izvozvo, asi icho ndo chokwadi chava kutoitika munyika muno.
Let me hold you on the line there, Koma Ashton. Let us give Admire a chance, Yokchwaku Pindre, for him to respond to what you just said. Admire, was I connecting with you now?
Yes, I am.
Uzvilokusa nokushongo Ashton ngenaka kunapa umphendulo.
Ya nyamuzwa philile ukuthi lapana. Into eqhakathekile ngokuthi sizananzelela kathi sokuthi uhulumende ubuye wabuya esenzana iland audit. Kule audit lapana okwenza ukuthi kube le land audit yenza ukuthi sina njengabontanga ukubandala kulezana ipix sakhamba sakhuluma ukuthi no madoda siyacela lathi ukuthi sibe ne access yeland. Sizananzelela futhi ukuthi amayuthi amaningi isikhathi lisana iland isanda kuphiwa laphana abaningi babefithi ngamatopi babengafuni ukuthi benjani bejoyine ugaza le-land reform. Sokananzelela ukuthi amayuthi amanye abekhuluma but emahofisini kabafiki kumbe bayesaba ukuthi beyefika bedinga uncedo. So kwani kunzima ukuthi umuntu umlande uzemtshentshi kulento enjena angazange ayidinge. Yebo uyabekhuluma uminista but imbuzo esingabe siwubuza wena ukuthi bangaki asaleke bahamba bayafika emahofisini bayadinga lolo ncedo. Sokananzelela ukuthi thina njengabontanga sinezane zokuthi kufuna ukuthi sipinifiphi ele singasipinifiphi izinto zizazihambe kuhle. So mina ngibona ngathi ama-opportunities maningi but aweke kube nomuntu ezafike kunike ilitho emlonyeni. Thina njengesibanda lezane isifo kumbe njengohulumende ekaweza owokusa iZimbabwe sinika abantu amahuka ukuthi likwanisele liyakushiya intando lokhu ukuthi sisezekenika intando kwi-Silver Platter. Sokananzelela ukuthi singakhangela kube mashona lembrijini ngala ngithi bakhona ontanga abalimayo ephubhakho ini but lentanga abahamba badinga ilendi bona bodwa. So kuya ngokuthi wena njengomntanga wangikhona ulingaphi ufunani ufisani empilweni. Uhulumende ngeke akulanda azosiqhudela eminyango ukuthi ukuyenzela nokubhadesi ngiyafanele ukuthi ulandele lama-opportunities nalawakhona.
Hayi, siyabonga Admire. Let's go back to Babumira. Babumira, muchiripo parunareri.
Inini zvandida kungotaura pamusoro pezvakataura izvozvo ndezvekuti zvinhu izvi hazvisi kuitwa pajekerere. Ngozi ini ngada kubva kuti ndikoriwo muyuthi asi zvinhu zvaari kutaura izvi ini handitorina kana humboo nazvo. So mashoko angu andinoda kutaura ndekuti tine sangano reZimbabwe Youth Council rinova sangano rinomirira mayuthi munomu riri sangano bandiko rehurumende yeZimbabwe. Isusu zvatinotarisira ndezvekuti zvinhu izvi kana zvichiitika hazvifaniri kunge zvichiitika zvichibhenefita bato rimwe, zvichitadza kubhenefita rimwe bato. Apa ndinoreva kuti mukada kutarisa avo vanenge vachinzi vakawana minda, vakawanda vacho vanenge vari vebato reZANU-PF. Isu tiri kuti kana vatungamira vachinge vasarudzwa vanova magurukota ehurumende, maministers, even nemutungamiriri wenyika vamunangagwa, zvatinotarisira kubva kwavari ndeyekuti vanenge vaakutungamirira ani naani zvake zvisinei nekuti anenge ari kubato ripi. Sokutaura kwavaita handirambi kuti kune avo mayuthi vanogonange vane zvavakawanawo kubva kuhurumende zvinosanganisira angava maloans kana even land chaiyo for farming vari kuita zvetobhako. Asi zvatinoona especially mayuthi anenge ari mumaguta, tinoona kuti mayuthi ayo anoita zvematongerwo enyika avo vanonge vari vanopikisa kakawanda kacho havawani mikana iyi. Ende avo mayuthi vasingaite zvematongerwo enyika, unoona zvinhu izvi zvinowanzongopiwa nekuda kwekuti unosapota bato ripi. Ende vanopiwa vacho vashoma tichitarisira zvatinenge tichitarisira kuti zvinge zvichiitika nekuwanda kunenge kwakaita vechidiki munyika muno. Sekuziva kwaunoita mayuthi we are more than 60% yepopulation yedu. So even mawanira atiri kuita land mawanira atinoita mukana anofanenge achienderanawo nekuwanda kwatinenge takaita sokuti hazvirevi chinhu kana mayuthi mashoma achiwana ndatiti land iyo mayuthi acho akawanda.
Now, Mr. Bumira, some young people would differ. I would beg to differ on what you just highlighted. They say that ZANU-PF members are not the only beneficiaries of government initiatives. As highlighted by Mr. Maskati, they say that when you're submitting your application, be it at the Empowerment Bank or any other place that has programs that target uplifting youth, on the form does not ask whether or not you are a ZANU-PF member. It doesn't ask for your political affiliation. In fact, Mr. Maskati just highlighted that, in his opinion, the mindset that only ZANU-PF members are benefiting from government initiatives is what's actually causing a lot of young people to not want to apply in their numbers. Something which he is urging young people to say, regardless of your political affiliation, go and apply for these programs. Kindly respond to that.
What I would say is, I think for starters, you know, in Zimbabwe, we have the Zimbabwe Youth Council, which is, a government department, which is under the Minister of Youth. Mm-hmm. So our expectation is,
that entity, which was created by our Zimbabwean parliament, is actually supposed to, you know, make sure that young people from, you know, different political parties, they benefit. But if you look at the Zimbabwe Youth Council, the way it is, you know, constructed, it is leaning, you know, closely towards, you know, ZANU-PF as a party. So even when you look at, like, what you are saying, maybe young people, they apply or they are not applying, there is a pattern. Most of the young people, you know, who benefit from, you know, these government programs, they are from ZANU-PF. The reason why I'm saying this, you know, in Zimbabwe, our population, more than, you know, 60% of our population, you know, it's young people. And I'm also, you know, a part of those young people. And, you know, I can actually, you know, give you as an example. I myself, I have tried, you know, to look for a piece of land. Mm-hmm. I will tell you,
even if you go to the district office, you are told, you know, in this district, we no longer have land. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you, recently, there was a young person who was given land, and, you know, on Twitter, most people, I will not mention the name, but most people, they were actually shocked to say, so land is still there. Yeah. What's the criteria? Like, when did this guy apply? How did they arrive at that? So my point
really is, you know, going forward, mm-hmm. if our government is,
you know, inclusive, is pro-youth, and it's also pro, you know, development, you know, we have
radio stations, we have, you know, our ZBC and so forth. They should, you know,
do awareness, you know, awareness campaign, you know, alerting people. Because at the moment, you know, for me, what my brother is saying, it's news. Because I've tried it, and, you know, I no result.
Admire. Oh, is that connecting, Manny?
Yes, I am.
Can you kindly respond to Mr. Bumira there? We hear him acknowledging that, yes, there are some young people who are benefiting. However, in his opinion, it usually, in most circumstances, it depends on how close you are to the ZANU-PF.
Yes, I hear them loud and clear. But we need to allude to the fact that ZANU-PF is not the one that is allocating land. But the Ministry of Lands, Agriculture, Water and Fisheries does. And if you go and register there, if the land is available, you get to the land on a first come, first serve basis.
Mm-hmm.
So you find out that a lot of people tend to speak from the terraces, not within the system. Yes, you might go there if you fail to actually access land. That will be then. But at least to the fact that a lot of our youth do not want to be associated with the land reform because they think it are old Madala people and other stuff. And getting to the fact that my brother is saying the ZANU-PF government is not trying, I will give him maybe a heads up. You see, we need to also include the fact that Zimbabwe has been under sanctions from 2000 up to now.
Mm-hmm.
And this government is actually trying in chipping in, trying to actually correct the anomalies that were created by the previous regime.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we are trying to actually re-engage with the countries that were previously not on our side.
Mm-hmm.
We find out that Zimbabwe is open to business mantra, the compensation of the white farmers, all these measures that have been tried by the government to actually change the complexity of Zimbabwe as a nation. Remember, there is no nation that can actually survive in isolation, and Zimbabwe is not an exception. Going on again, we're looking at the opening of companies
mm-hmm.
in Zimbabwe. The government, as we are speaking right now, we've got about 700,000 jobs that have been created by the ZANU-PF government. And remember, mm-hmm. we are not equal. Mm-hmm. Even if you're looking at your fingers, they are not equal. We can't get the same opportunities at the same time, everyone. You see, so as a government, if the government is trying, it needs the support of me and these other fellow structures, give direction, show the ministers the way to go. Dialogue is the only way that can solve this problem. But you cannot solve the problem of Zimbabwe if you are hiding in South Africa, or if you are hibernating in South Africa, where you will be invited, where you will be called in, why if you are running away from you, you're just in Zimbabwe. Let me add it to the fact that I meet a lot of guys whenever I travel around. They don't be telling us that Zimbabwe is afraid because we are away from our country. Therefore, hiding other countries, why if you have the opportunity to actually enrich ourselves. The opportunities are there. What is important is how best can you access information? If you access information, how best can you create opportunities for yourself? The ZANU-PF or the government of Zimbabwe can create opportunities for you and bring them to you in a platter or come and look at your own space. If I added it earlier, mm-hmm. the ZANU-PF can give you the fishing robots, the government can give you a fishing robot. What is left is for you to actually think outside the box and make that idea that we have into fruition. It's important that the government completely limits it. There were about 15 youth, both aligned to the ZANU-PF, who actually got names in Uguza. They pushed and pushed and pushed until they got that name. So why can't other youth do the same? It's not all about being a member of the ZANU-PF. Let's look at some of the big groups within the MPC that own names. You can take off your original movie, you can take off your Tavazani cookies, you can take off the MP from Ntumbane, the Portland.
All right, Mr. Maskati, Ashton, let me hold you both on the line there. There's a soundbite that I'd like to play of a young female student, who is talking about female empowerment, to be exact. We're joined by Talent Madaba, who sent us a voice note on WhatsApp. I asked her to comment on this particular discussion, but to predominantly focus on women empowerment in Zimbabwe. So let's hear what Talent had to say, and when we come back, we're going to wrap up our discussion with both Mr. Maskati and, of course, Ashton Bulile.
Well, this is an interesting question. Do I think there are enough women occupying positions of power in Zimbabwe? Well, I think there is much to be done in Zimbabwe in terms of respecting women. The drive is not yet in for Zimbabwe. As women are threatened and thwarted in their rise to power, there are just few lucky ones who rise by the virtue of, of their proximity to those in power. We have several cases of women leaders abducted and tortured, which is a practice of old age. So for Zimbabwe, we need to start lighting up fire and cook a gender meal which all can eat.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you just heard there from Talent Madaba, a young student in Zimbabwe, commenting on youth empowerment in Zimbabwe. Particularly, she was focusing there on the empowerment of the girl child or women empowerment in Zimbabwe. Admire, let's bring you back on the show there, brother. You heard there, Oksan Lushiwo Nkosazana Madaba. When we talk about women empowerment in Zimbabwe, Dololo, it's not happening. What is your response to that?
I'll talk to Tifa, especially when it comes to the women.
Mm-hmm.
women are given a 60% quota in parliament. What do they do with that 60% quota? Three quarters of them are known to change weight and make up only. They are not representing the interests of the women down there. And when it comes to the youth, we are actually pushing for a youth quota where youth from all the provinces will actually get an opportunity where they can sit and deliberate on national issues in parliament. So the opportunities are not supposed to be created by us, we need to put them on the terraces, but by us actually participating in the mainstream political arena.
All right, Babu Mira. Nguva ndiyoyedu yadyikana saka pachidimbu ndanchikumbira kuti mupindire vamukoma masikati mutipo zvekare maumbire nezvemashoko atanzwa anga achitaurwa namuzvare Madava.
No, I would agree with the lady. You know, in Zimbabwe, even for example, if you look at the presidium, you know, our presidium, you know, it tells a story. So my concluding remarks, I would say that there is still, you know, a lot which needs to be done in terms of, you know, uplifting, you know, young people and also women, you know, into leadership positions.
I think
the work is supposed to be done by political party, each field, you know, or candidate. So, like, you know, for local authorities or even for parliament, I think there's still a lot which needs to be done in terms of, you know, uplifting, you know, young people and also women so that they occupy, you know, a public office, elected public office.
All right, Buriya Zimbabwe, you're hearing there from Ashton Bumira and, of course, Admire Maskati, two youth members of the Zimbabwean nationalities are debating it there on whether or not President Emmerson Mnangagwa has been able to deliver on his promises with regards to uplifting Zimbabwean youth. But now, whilst on the same discussion of what President Emmerson Mnangagwa has promised the nation since 2017, there's another discussion that I'd like to delve into where I'm joined by researcher, prominent researcher, Cynthia Chigwena. Now, President Emmerson Mnangagwa, when he took over the reins of presidency in 2017, he vowed to ensure that his government would work hard to ensure that there's unity and, of course, that Zimbabweans can work together to address our past traumas and, of course, other issues that Zimbabwe had faced, past traumas such as the Gukurahundi massacres. Now, to hear more about President Emmerson Mnangagwa's government's performance in that aspect, once again, I'm joined by Cynthia Chigwena, prominent researcher, whose work predominantly focuses on a past conflict resolution. So let's hear more from Cynthia.
I authored a chapter in the previous year, in 2020, that is titled Bandwagoning or Intended Action, Examining Zimbabwe's Legal Framework on Peace Building. So what the book chapter was about was really the concept of bandwagoning is familiar in politics and international relations where political actors do something because it is popular, it is what is trending, or it is the norm during the time. So if you look, for instance, in the cases of Rwanda, where post-conflict reconstruction was sort of put into place and we had the whole world coming in and saying, how does Rwanda move forward? Mm-hmm. And so the title that says bandwagoning or intended action is to just explore how much intent and political will is in the current government's policy and also practices in terms of addressing Gukurahundi and all the other cases of violence that have happened. Now, the reason we speak about intent in this case is that, as you would know, the massacres happened in between 1983 and 1987, which is years ago. So it was only in 2018 that the government came out to say, we are going to start working with civil society organizations. We're going to start working with the victims and sort of map a way forward towards resolving the Gukurahundi massacres. So the intent here is really to say, you've been quiet for so long and you're coming into the picture now. How sincere are your intentions? And are you not going to dilute the efforts that have already been going on, either led by international organizations or the civil society? Overall, I explore the National Peace and Reconciliation Commission Act, the first law that actually seeks to address violence in Zimbabwe and incidents of injustices. So I explore the provisions that are in this act, say that does it really align with the norms and principles we've seen in other post-conflict societies elsewhere. But one of the issues that I note in my presentation is that the National Peace and Reconciliation Commission Act does not focus specifically on the Bukhara-Wundi massacres. What it focuses on, violence more broadly. So if I'm going to take you to what it says the NPRC Act mandates the NPRC, which is the commission, to resolve burdens of past violence, to build the nation, and to ensure peace and reconciliation. So it is very ambiguous when it comes to incidents of violence, because we have had so many incidents of violence. So it's a step in the right direction, but you don't just want to move. You want to ensure that the vehicle you're moving in is rightly equipped to ensure that you get to your destination. So that is where the NPRC is lagging, and especially, more especially in terms of bringing people to account. It doesn't speak of any initiative or intent to actually bring people to trial and say, you committed this crime during this, the period of violence, be it during Bukhara-Wundi, be it during Murambachina, be it during this series of violence, electoral violence against opposition parties. So it doesn't speak about accountability, and that is very concerning, because if you're to deter an act or a crime, you need to make people accountable for that. And it also helps in reconciliation and giving justice to the victims.
Cynthia, thank you so much for taking time out to be with us on the program. So now, what you just highlighted there is a very important factor, which is that the Zimbabwean government has taken the first step towards addressing past traumas. However, as mentioned by a lot of listeners that have come onto this program, there's still a large population of people, not just young people, not just old people, people of all generations, highlighting that there's a lot of people who are still seeking justice and assistance from the Zimbabwean government. So how would you advise the Zimbabwean government to advance this issue and ensure that all Zimbabweans, once again, both young and old, can receive the justice and assistance that they're seeking?
Great. And it's a very interesting question, and I think there are many ways to kill a cat. I'll refer to a maxim that says, anything for us without us is against us. So if I'm going to set up a commission on violence, for instance, be it Bukhara-Wundi, be it land grabs, be it electoral violence, the first thing I need to note is it representative of the people that are from the groups that I need to focus on? And so the first thing that the NPRC Commission needs to do is to ensure that it is representative of the people it is trying to assist in getting reconciliation and justice for. And by so doing, you're able to appeal to both the victims and the survivors and say, we have... Becky, he's one of us. He experienced what you went through. So do you mind sharing with Becky how we can help you? It is important for the government and the commission as well to gain trust from the people and the citizens to be able to gain trust and say, we would like to work with the government, because work has been going on in the background within the past 30 years, either led by external organizations, civil societies, or individuals, or even churches that were helping. The state needs to take an approach where it is accommodating, it is representative, so that it's able to gain the trust of both the people and the victims. But apart from being accommodating, I think the next step is to revisit the NPRA and say, this is the first step. But as a child, if you start crawling, you don't stop at crawling. You need to start baby steps. You need to, and after walking, you need to start running. And that is development.
Now, Cynthia, as you just highlighted, discussions on past traumas such as Bukhara-Wundi, the opposition violence, and other past traumas that Zimbabwe has gone through are things that happened in the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s. So now, explain to the young Zimbabwean why it's so important for them to understand this period in Zimbabwean history, and how does this contribute towards developing Zimbabwe, towards growing Zimbabwe and moving the country forward as per the aspirations of all young Zimbabweans?
It's a very, very interesting question, and I think it's It's a timely question to ask. So you'd find that the participation from young people was particularly low, mm-hmm. and understandably so. Some people might say, you know, I'm not directly related. I think is it Chinua Achebe who says, whoever just ignores where he's from is at risk of you know, hitting a blind spot wherever he's going. Essentially, your history will serve you to avoid similar mistakes in the future. But you know what? And then somebody else can come and say, I'm not even interested in politics, so how is this going to help me in the future? But what we need to be aware of is that Rwanda had lasting impact, but not just Rwanda, also several incidents of violence. They have lasting impacts. You have women that are living with experiences of rape, and that has got an impact on how they relate to either their children, how they relate to their neighbors in the society. And I think we owe it to building and rebuilding Zimbabwe to address how vulnerable people are treated in our society. But apart from women who are survivors of rape accounts, we also have a generation that is growing from that period of violence. So you have children that are born out of rape, but not just children, you have people that were displaced. You have, you know, families that were disintegrated because of that incident. So these are people that we're living with. We might not be directly related to them, but some of them are our friends. Some of them are, you know, our co-workers. And I think it's a discussion that we need to be cautious of, and we need to really bring to the fore, and if we are to build a better Zimbabwe for all.
Now, as we wrap up, Cynthia, I want to touch on something that it seems to be very important here, which is the participation of all Zimbabweans towards nation building or bringing unity. We hear experts emphasizing on the fact that peace building, unity, all these exercises are not just a mandate of government, but all citizens play a very crucial role. So now, as we wrap up here, what words would you have for Zimbabwean youth, especially those listening to this interview, pertaining to that, what role they should be playing towards peace building and unity in Zimbabwe?
It's going to sound very cliche, but it starts with you and I. That is the truth. And the different capacities that we spaces rather than capacities, but in the different spaces that we occupy, it starts with you reaching out to your Ndebele neighbor and trying to understand them. It starts with you and I engaging with you, Mike, and saying, why aren't young people involved in this topic, and how do we get young people to participate? So really, peace building is not entirely the job of the government. It is the responsibility of both the government and the citizens, especially the citizens. And the reason I say it is the responsibility of the citizens more is precisely that if you look at the either economic structure or the social structure, the issues that affect your middle class and lower class are not the same as the issues that affect your elites in the society. So if Peggy is my neighbor and Peggy is Ndebele, then I probably interact with them more than somebody else in a more affluent suburb interacts with their neighbor. And even if they do, it's never really issues that are concerning to them. So it is even more so a responsibility for you and I and the ordinary citizen to engage, because we live in the Zimbabwean society, and the society that we live in is still heavily impacted by a series of mass killings and series of violence, including Bukrawund, including violence against opposition parties. So we need to work on that, because it affects us more than it affects everybody else who is excluded from the normal person's reality.
All right. Well, Zulugandaba, Gwanelogalam Sham Chavazomose, Zimbabwe, we just heard there from Cynthia Chigwenya. Akota iskati sese sio mangoi tashika kumakumoe chongwa chelu cha nasi ilegaini story mkanawi Mukutenda, all the guests that joined us up on at Big Mike 3 on Twitter and Instagram. If you're looking to catch up with me, Maria Zimbabwe, Linga Kofi, if you're looking to join us, you can reach out to me using those social media pages. Next week, same time, same place, next week. Bye-bye!